In this episode of Tech at Work, we delve deeper into three aspects of cybersecurity. One, how safe and secure is your data on cloud? Two, is a cyber risk more in an Internet of Things or IoT world? And if yes, why? And thirdly, why McAfee predicts we will see identity attacks via our social media platform. This is Tech at Work, and I am Reema Tendulkar, your host from CNBC TV 18, and we are joined by Venkat Krishnapur of McAfee. McAfee is a device-to-cloud cybersecurity company globally. McAfee oversees 87% of the world's largest banks and 80% of the Fortune 100 firms. And Venkat Krishnapur is the Vice President of Engineering and the Managing Director of McAfee India. Venkat, thank you so much for speaking with Tech at Work. I think that's the big question, right? We all save our data on cloud. Sometimes it's a backup, sometimes it's the primary storage device. How safe is my data on cloud?
First of all, Reema, thank you very much for hosting me. I truly appreciate it. Let me just begin by saying, how the patterns have changed over the last few years in terms of how people have been, transacting with their data. And in order to reduce the infrastructure costs, today what we are seeing is a significant move towards the cloud, which means that the enterprises are leveraging both public as well as hybrid clouds in order to store their data and retrieve their data. Just from a statistical perspective, what we have seen is a 23% increase in terms of how much data is being transferred and transacted in the cloud. From corporates, this is based on the threat assessment that we did, talking to over 30 million, or looking at the data patterns of 30 million customers. The other thing that we've also noticed, just from a statistical perspective, is that almost 21% of that data that is actually transferred to the cloud is actually very sensitive. It could be IP related, it could be a business document, it could be something else. And the reality is we are seeing close to about a dozen accounts essentially being compromised on a monthly basis in the corporates. So I think the problem is getting huge. As much as we see we all tend to think that we have data in Azure, AWS, Google Drive, Box, they're all well protected. I think what we have to be alert to is the fact that there is definitely risk of losing data if you don't have the right means of protecting yourself.
Venkat, that brings me to the next point. I take your point completely that cloud adoption is going up. Increasingly, we are storing a lot more sensitive data, 21% of the data, as your report suggests. But why are cloud accounts getting hacked? You said a dozen of accounts are being compromised. Why is that happening?
So, it's, basic etiquette to a large degree in terms of how people need to transact business online. Oftentimes, it is very simple things such as, not making sure that you have a strong password, which is, oftentimes the case. So, it's not too hard for people to guess your password. And often, what we have seen is there are a lot of people who tend to use passwords like 1234 or just password or no password, etc. And these are known to cyber criminals. So these are the first things that they would try. They also have brute force software that will try and find out what the passwords are.
What is a brute force software which can identify your password?
What they could do is you generate a dictionary of passwords and then try and log into your account. And the other thing is as much as your account may be safe, sometimes what happens is your devices are not well protected. For example, you could have for some reason downloaded a piece of malware which is probably doing keystroke logging. And criminal has all the data that has your account, it has your password and everything else. So once they have that, they can log into a Box account or a Google Drive or whatever, and then be able to access the data that you have. So You know, there are multiple ways of, you know, how cyber criminals are able to get into your account in the cloud. So, you know, people who assume that just because I have data in the cloud, and in a public cloud that's well-renowned, you know, I'm safe, is not completely right.
Anyway, there's no such thing as it's stored in the cloud. What is a cloud? It's someone else's computer, and how safe can that be? But Venkat, I remember a couple of years ago, these celebrity photos were leaked. I think it was in 2015 after their iCloud account got hacked. What was the reason? Was it because their passwords were not secure enough, or there was a phishing attack?
The methods that you just described are the most common ways of how cyber criminals tend to go after the online accounts, right? So the important thing to realize is that you need to make sure that you're adequately protected. For example, regardless of whether it's AWS or whether it is Azure or whether it's Google Drive or anything else, the real thing is you've got to make sure that the basic account itself, from a configuration perspective, is well protected. So we have products that will scan through the account, make sure that your password that you've set is strong. We also have DLP for when you're transferring data to the cloud. Our data leakage protection product could swing into action and then make sure that your data is encrypted and then there's no data loss. The most important step, of course, is you need to be educated as well. So a couple of things, right? What is it that the malware guys are trying to do? They're really looking at two things: the vulnerability of the human mind and the vulnerability of the ecosystem, which could be your machine, your operating system, or whatever. And what do I mean by vulnerabilities of the human mind? For example, a phishing attack is an example of how one could easily fall prey to an attack. For example, you get a message like free gold if you click on this link, right? I mean, you've got to be very suspicious of such emails. The only way, I guess, you will get free gold is if you find gold on the moon, and then the value of gold comes down so much that literally the but people have to be alert to these kinds of things, these frauds. So what's really happening is this is what we call as social engineering. People are manipulating the human mind so that they click on bad links, and the moment you click on bad links, you download software. It could be on your mobile device, it could be on your laptop, it could be on your iPad. It doesn't matter which device it is. But the moment you have a malicious program running on your machine, it could hack into your account and harvest your email addresses. It could take pictures of yourself. It could do keystroke logging, so it knows and it's sending information constantly to another control center somewhere in some part of the world. So the moment you have downloaded malicious software without your knowledge, the sky is the limit in terms of what the hackers should be able to do.
Well, there's no free lunch, so let alone no free gold, definitely. But McAfee assesses various storage devices, cloud being one of them. Which is the safest way to store your data now?
Overall, when you look at where you can put your data, the public cloud is certainly a safe place to store your data. Even as I speak about the risks, what we're talking about are risks that are controllable to a large degree. And what you need is a common sense approach in making sure that you're following the simple basic steps so that you don't fall prey. And the second thing is to make use of the right tools. So the point I'm trying to make is, the cloud is an absolutely safe place to put your data in, and that's really where people are putting their data in. So, in addition to that, what you do need to do is, of course, have that extra layer of security that the standard vendors will not be able to provide.
So nothing is 100% safe. The only thing which complicates matter in, say, a public cloud is there's very little transparency. It's not that you can go to the data servers and, find out where your data is saved. But let me move on to the other point, that is Internet of Things, or the IoT world that we're currently living in. So right now, my laptop, my watch, my phone, my home, it's all smart and it's all connected. So therefore, is the cyber risk more in an IoT world? And if yes, why? And how is it, how is my data being compromised more in an IoT world?
Well, that's a great question, Reema. You know, when you look at you know, the world that we live in today, like you just described, there are a plethora of devices that are interconnected, you know, to the network. And what we're really predicting is anywhere close to 50 to 60 billion devices that could be connected, you know, over the next couple of years. And what that really means is, you know, just look at it from, you know, a cyber criminal's standpoint, right? He's like, you know, the more the merrier. All he needs is the more people and devices that pile onto the bandwagon, his statistical probability of being able to, you know, make money or do damage is exponentially going to increase. And so that's really where the threats are, because, you know, when you look at the devices themselves, it could be a, you know, a smart fridge, it could be a smart light, it could be a smart lock. Regardless of what it is, you know, at the end of the day, these are not devices that are traditionally high in memory, compute power, and so on. So the in terms of how you protect it, you need to make sure that you have an interface in between that is able to make sure that, you know, the kind of traffic that's coming in, where the IP is, where, you know, is it a reliable source from which the request is being made, is the right person making the call, is it the right device that is trying to activate a certain device. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that need to be analyzed, you know, when you're connected, for example.
But can I do this at an individual level, or is it too complex and therefore I need to download any kind of software products which can secure all my devices? And if yes, if I can do it at an individual level, how can I do it? How do I secure all these devices and make sure, you know, the hacker can't attack all these many entry points?
So I'll take the example of the smart home today. And, you know, the gateway to the smart home is usually a router. And today, McAfee has something called the Secure Home Platform, which is actually a software that is built into the router. And, you know, these are different routers that we have. So what this is doing is constantly monitoring the network data that is coming in. We use machine learning and deep learning and other, you know, state-of-the-art technologies to be able to understand what the traffic patterns are, and also to make a determination as to whether, you know, the devices themselves that are being, you know, that are on the home network, for example, are compromised or not. And then we are able to make sure that the basic level of protection happens right at the router, which is exactly where you know, all the devices get connected to. So, you know, whether regardless of whether you have 5 devices or 10 devices, 60 devices at home, you know, they're all, as long as they're on the home network and they're going through this gateway, you know, you would be assured of a significant level of protection.
Moving on, you spoke about social engineering, where hackers kind of coerce the victims into giving up their passwords in a way, or the attack takes place through a malicious email, which you called as phishing. How big a threat is social engineering, according to you?
Social engineering is the easiest way for a hacker to actually get access to anything. Let's, for example, look at a corporate network. I mean, to a large degree, the basic fundamental protection that you need, you know, corporates absolutely are conscious of, you know, the kind of impact that one would have if you were hacked, and, you know, that gets into the news is bad news, right? It's not, you know, it takes a lot of effort to actually break into, you know, to a well solidified security environment. The easiest way is to actually socially engineer, or what I mean by social engineering is to exploit the vulnerability of the human mind, like I was just talking about, you know, a couple of minutes back, which is, you know, you're essentially foxing somebody, or, you know, making somebody click on a bad link, and then enticing him with all kinds of offers. It could be, you know, it could also be fear, you know, where you get an email that says, your account has been compromised in this bank, so please click on this link, and you enter your password, and banks and others will never send such emails. And, you know, not everybody is aware, right? So what happens is, the moment you click on these links, you're falling trap to the whims and the fancies of the bad guys. You know, this it's a double-edged sword, Reema, if you were to ask me. Today, when you look at the kind of malware proliferation that is happening to them. It's almost impossible for the human mind to look at each file after the other and then make a determination as to whether the piece of malware or the file or the process that you're looking at is malicious or not. Our labs guys get close to anywhere up to four pieces of new malware, which are known as either indicators of attack or indicators of compromise. And we get four new pieces of malware every second. It's just mind-boggling. It's impossible for the human mind to be able to make a quick determination as to whether something is... So for us, given that we're a company that we've been in the business of malware for over 25 years, the amount of data that we have is phenomenal. And when you look at what really makes machine learning and artificial intelligence so crucial for us, it's really a couple of things, right? Today, it's the intersection of the data and the intersection of the power of compute. And we have both. From a data perspective, we have the volumes, we have the variety, we have the velocity. And this is ideal for us to be able to make, to use artificial intelligence in order to determine if there are certain behavioral patterns, it could be something else. That said, you've got to remember that we live in a cat and mouse kind of a world. And as we make progress, the bad guys are trying to make progress. So, in fact, what's happening really is the bad guys are beginning to use artificial intelligence to find out how we are machine learning. How do you stay ahead of this game? Because criminals are using the same technologies that we are using. How do we make sure that they don't get ahead of us, right? So this is where we have something called adversarial machine learning. It's one of the aspects of how we take this into account and make sure that our machine learning algorithms are robust and rigid enough so that the criminals not able to play around with the data and then fox our systems and outsmart us.
One thing you can say about hackers, if they want to target you, they find a way in, whether it's from your door or it's from your window. And if that doesn't work, then they'll go to the second floor and come right in and attack you. So one thing that I picked up is that do not set very simple passwords. Let it be a little more complex. Do not have your traditional name followed by a 123 or a Rima 123 kind of a password. You can have a two-factor authentication as well when it comes to your passwords. And secondly, be a little wary of two good sounding emails, which could be a little malicious. Is there anything else in one line that a viewer or an individual has to be careful in terms of protecting its data online?
It's just a combination of common sense and making sure that you're using the right basic set of tools to stay protected online, Rima. There's really nothing more to it. Common sense is like exactly what you just described, which is safe passwords, strong passwords, making sure you don't click on bad links, you don't fall prey to messages that are that'll give you a pot of gold, and basic common netiquette that you need to follow, and of course supported by a set of basic tools that you need, because you're not going to be able to handle everything yourself, and you do need tools to tell you and warn you and make sure that you're protected. I think between a combination of these two, you will be safe online.
Venkat, thank you very much for your time and throwing insights on how to protect your identity and your data in this digital world. Thanks again for watching Tech at Work. I, Rima Tendulkar, will be back with another episode. And remember to subscribe to our podcast on any of the platforms where podcasts are available. And you can also watch the video interview on YouTube. Thanks again for watching.